New Year's Eve at church. Can you believe this? How did 2017 go by so fast? I mean, I literally, it just seems like just yesterday that, and I know that you young adults, you're going to think this is crazy, but for those of you who are not young adults, all of us, all right, doesn't it seem like Y2K was just yesterday? And we were wondering if our toasters were going to work and we could use our phones, but wow. Time moves by fast. A lot of things. I was going through my journal and just looking at some of the things that have gone by in the past year. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. I think in my family, you know, my sweet Jenny used to live at my house. You know? You know, lots of things with you and your families changing. And you know, Denise, how's your house coming along?
It's good.
That's something that's gone on this year. Denise and her husband have been blessed, and they are building the largest house on earth. And they've invited us all to come and live with them. How's it coming, though? How's the... How exciting, exciting, exciting. That's wonderful. Well, where will we go? Good question. I've been all over the map this week thinking exactly where I was going to be preaching. And where I have settled, where I think we need to be at, is in Ephesians chapter 4. And when I get in the middle of my message, I'll kind of share with you a bit of a dream I had, kind of goes along with this, how I ended up here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 1. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And that's why it says, when he ascended on high, led the captives in his train, and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? And he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would be our teacher now. I know that people in this room have heard plenty of sermons in their lives. Some of them, Heavenly Father, have read the Bible over and over many times. So I pray now, Heavenly Father, you'd help us to recall things that we've studied and you've taught us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd use what we're reading in the Scripture now to stir our spirits and to help us to grow in you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it's important to realize here as we're looking at this Scripture that it is not just written for individuals. This is something that has been written for a church in Ephesus and is applicable primarily to our church, to the church. So first and foremost, this goes to the church. Secondarily, we look at it as something to individuals. All right? So, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And then he goes in verse 2 to talk about our church mindset, how we're supposed to operate with each other. And it says, be humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's our rules for how we're supposed to operate with one another. Humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And, you know, we could take and look at what the opposite of these things are. I mean, the opposite of being humble is seeing yourself as better than others. That doesn't work. The opposite of gentle is being harsh. That won't work. And the opposite of being patient is being impatient. We don't want that to be. We'd have a whole church where everybody would be anxious all the time because everybody's impatient. We don't want to be like that. And notice the other thing you mentioned, bearing with one another in love. The truth is that this is especially true in Florida. A lot of us are from different parts of the country. Some of you weren't even born in the United States. And you got different families that do things in different ways. We're all a little bit different. I mean, if I took all your names and put them in a hat and shook them up, and I took them out in groups of three, I just took out random, these first three, and I said, okay, you three people, you need to go on a trip to Boston for a week, and you need to work together and get it together. I mean, just randomly. That's going to be a struggle, because unless you put Tammy on the list, and then, you know, Jenny or Chris, I'm used to operating with them. I'm used to them. They're used to me. They have ways of doing things that are similar. But if you took and you put me with people that were very different, like, let's just take you put Carlos on my list. Time schedule, Carlos is living in college time. College time stays up very late and gets up late. I mean, that's just kind of how his life works. Carlos listens to different music than I listen to. Carlos has his ways of doing things that, you know what? If I was going to go with Carlos, remember we're going to have a third person on the list, I would have to make adjustments. Now let's make the road trip even more interesting. The third person on my list, the random one pulled out, would be me and Carlos, Pat Richmond. Pat Richmond does not operate on college time. So she and Carlos, they'd have to figure out the time thing. And she's got her ways of doing things, ways that she's used to doing things. How in the world could we do it? We would need to bear with one another in love because we're different. And in the church, that's how we're supposed to operate. We need to bear with one another in love. We do not need to all change and do things exactly expect other people to change to become like us. We need to bear with one another. Be humble, gentle, and patient. Now in verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit are the things that make us one in Christ. The things that make us one in Christ. And let's think about what those are. What makes us one in Christ? Well, Jesus died for all of us, right? The Bible's written for all of us. Let's think of some other things. Jesus says, I've gone on to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So he's prepared a place for us. What else? Is any of us more valuable than the other? No, we're all. That would be like asking me if my children, one was more valuable than the other. It's like, no. I only got one son, and he's special. I only have one daughter, and she's special. And if they said, which one's the most special? They're both special. They're different. they're special in different ways. And I wouldn't trade either one of them because they're both precious to me. Now, in order to keep the unity of the Spirit, we need to keep in mind the things that make us one in Christ. And when it comes to us, those things need to be kept before us. And the things that could divide us, we need to see them for what they are. They are secondary issues. Now, I know one thing that we have all had to deal with this year, and that's the whole issue of politics. And some people want to tell you that if you voted for this candidate, then you can't be my friend. That cannot be how we operate as Christians. It can't be, because politics is not a primary thing. The primary thing is the unity of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is one. And when we hit heaven, there isn't going to be Democrats and Republicans and independents. It's not going to be where it's going to be. It's not going to be union or non-union. It's not going to have to worry about those things. And really, in a church that's doing things right, you should have people of all different political leanings, because your political leanings are a secondary matter. Primary matter is your Jesus leaning. You know, does he come first in your life? Do you seek to put your world together in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? Do you make reading his word and living according to it an important foundational thing in your life? Those are the things that come first. It's got to be the way it is in his church. And but one more time, just look at how he worded it here in verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Have you ever had a time when you wanted to say something, but you know that you probably shouldn't say something? You ever had that? We went to downtown Disney the other night, and I was with a group of people, and there was this father that had one of his kids on his back, and the kid was riding piggyback, and because of, I shouldn't even be using this as a sermon illustration, but I think it'll show what I'm trying to say. Because of the way the father was holding the children, piggybacking the kid's pants had come down to about mid-butt. And so even though downtown Disney was, everybody was getting a mooning. All right. And everything inside me, the group I'm walking with, I wanted to call the attention of the group I was with and say, look at the butt crack. Because I thought it was funny. And everything inside me wanted to point it out and laugh about it. And, you know, I was sitting there, I was thinking about it as I was walking, I was like, I just need to keep my mouth closed. Right? And now that's just a silly thing. But let's just take that you're sitting down with some of your Christian brothers and sisters. And you have just read something in the news that's one of these hot button political things. You know what I mean? And you know, it seems like in the news, we see stuff all the time that tries to provoke us. You know, it tries to get us all riled up about something. And you're sitting there, and you know, if you bring it up in conversation, you know that the whole tenor of the conversation is going to change. Because all of a sudden, we're all going to start squabbling about whatever that issue is. We need to have this filter in our minds where we say, when it comes down to our brothers and sisters in Christ, the unity of the Spirit is an important thing. And we need to think about how we approach things with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's some stuff that maybe it would be interesting to bring up, but you know well enough that rather than having the unity of the Spirit, it's just going to cause discord. If that is what's going to happen and it's just going to cause discord, you need to keep it to yourself, and that isn't the place for sharing those things. And by the way, when it comes to anytime we are involved in any political discussions, we need to do our best to be involved in those discussions in a way that would be pleasing to Christ. Because I've seen sometimes when Christians, it's almost like as soon as they start talking about politics, they take their Christianity and they set it aside. I mean, I was at a conference one time, a pastor's conference, and this is way back when Bill Clinton was the president. And the particular speaker who was getting up to say something, he decided before he was going to speak that he was going to engage in a little bit of humor, and he decided to say something that was a joke against Bill Clinton in a way that cast the president in a terrible light. And he was laughing, and some of the people in the room were laughing, and a lot of people were very uncomfortable because it's like, my goodness, we are a room full of Christians, and this isn't becoming. This isn't how we should be operating as Christians. I mean, the scriptures are pretty clear that we need to give honor to those who are due honor and those who are in leadership over us, that, you know, we need to regard them. And so we need to do things in a way that, getting back to the scripture, that that protects the unity of the Spirit. Because the unity of the Spirit is something important. Because the love we have among us Christians is something you don't find anywhere else in the world. It's not like people can say, oh, well, on church, I'll get my fill at the, and you could name something else, my bowling league, or, you know, some social club or something. It's different. Because when we come together as a church, we're coming together in Jesus' name to do Jesus things. And this unity in the Spirit is more important than other things. And Paul's calling on us as members of his church to protect this. This unity, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And we need to protect that unity of the Spirit, and we need to be humble, gentle, patient, bear with one another in love, because that's an important thing. It says, there is one body and one Spirit, and just as you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And I guess one last thing on this little point. We need to think about the unity of the Spirit when we are interacting with friends who go to other churches. We are not in a competition with people at other churches. And they're not in a competition with us. And we need to have such an attitude that we can celebrate the accomplishments of a sister congregation. And if there's a need in a sister church in town, that we would care enough. here's a funny story of how we shouldn't do things. All right, this was years ago. I remember when I first got here, there was a time when we went through a real financial hardship. And we had a couple of air conditioning units go down. And, you know, AC units for in they cost a fortune, and they cost a fortune back then. And I had someone call me up, and they said, we want to bless you, and we have, I'm trying to remember exactly how the story went. They had a new unit that they were going to give us. It was a private party. Well, word got out that the father in that family was going to give us that new 5-ton unit, and we could just send over, pick it up, have the installers install it. It was going to save us several thousand dollars. And one of the family members heard it, and they went to a different church in this town. And they thought, we don't want that going to that church. And so they literally sent a crew over with a truck, and they arrived an hour before we did, threw it on the truck, and took off. And we arrived, and it was gone. And I found out the rest of the story. So now it had been placed behind one of the other churches in town. There's a couple things we could do. We considered beating up the people at the other church. And you know, the more we thought about it, we thought, we just need to let this one go. Because pursuing it is just gonna turn ugly. And it's sort of like the situation was kind of like a setup. And we just need to let it go. And I'm glad that we let it go. But I'm telling you what, that situation happened, dear God, must be 18 years ago. And that AC unit has now died, and I'm sure they got something else. But for years, every time I'd drive down the street and drive by that church, I'd look and I'd see that AC unit, and I'd go, But think about it. One church hating another church, is that pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. One church trying to undercut another church, is that pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. And I'm telling you what, sometimes it happens. You know, you got this person here happens to sit on the city council, and he goes to this church, and this other church is trying to get some, they want to put an addition on their building, and it's coming up for consideration. And this guy's like, well, I don't want to do anything to help them. So behind the scenes, he does everything he can to make it miserable for the other church. Does that please the Lord? No. I know they had a squabble in this town. This is when I first got here. They had a pastor in town. He was new at another one of the churches. And it used to be that the fanciest place in Claremont, and this was 19 years ago, the fanciest place in Claremont was Marguerite Gardens. Does anybody even know where Marguerite Gardens is? Well, a lot of the people, I'd have to show you something. Really pretty place. Very, very faint. A lot of the doctors at the hospital live out there. Well, a number of them were Christians, and they all went to one of the churches in town. And this new pastor went, and he literally went door to door in Marguerite Gardens and was encouraging the ones that went to the other church to come and try his church. Oh, my goodness. I remember when that happened, because they had a pastor's meeting in town. And I was there, and I was there when the one pastor decided to confront the other. It was wonderful. It was like going to the fights. I was sitting and watching it. It wasn't wonderful. It was terrible. I thought, this is terrible. It was terrible what you did. And it is terrible how hateful and angry you are about it. And I know what he did wasn't right, but dear God, this is not supposed to be how we operate. What about this unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? Something that we need to protect.